on 1116 SEN. League teams for Vogue's Draft, proudly supporting 130 Victorian local footy teams.
Great to have Vogue's Draft back on board, supporting league teams and, of course, local football here in Victoria. As I welcome 1116 SEN's Brett Anderson back behind the microphone. Good evening, Bretto.
Hello, Finny. Good to be with you and filling in or taking over from Ralphie. So he did a sterling job over the last few years and happy to slide into the chair.
Yeah, no fill-in, permanent positioning here. Wonderful to have you on board, and I'm really looking forward to what will be, for some teams, an opportunity for redemption in round two, and for other sides, a chance to really consolidate a good start to the season. It's going to be an interesting round of football. But one thing we've seen at the selection table just overall is a pretty ruthless approach to players that either had poor games of football, or in the case of Stephen Motlop, a poor preparation to their first round encounters.
There certainly is, Finding. We've got the teams here, and we'll go through them in a second, but certainly from a Gold Coast point of view, they've wielded the axe pretty quickly to some poor performances that we saw against Melbourne last week, and I guess that mindset has flowed through the AFL with a fair few omissions, which is unusual after one round of footy.
Let's have a look at the teams that are and it's only the early days, of course, but there's already a fair bit of pressure being exerted on some clubs. Which teams have to come out in round two and really turn their form around? Because I think, and I know, that we should be allowing some sort of leeway for sides after one round. So nothing's written in stone after round one, but my fur coat, if North Melbourne were to lose against Brisbane in round two, then the jungle drums won't be beating, they'll be being smashed. So apart from North Melbourne, who had a very disappointing first-up performance against a powerful Adelaide side, who else is under the pressure this week in terms of clubs?
Well, obviously Gold Coast are, after their loss to Melbourne. Everyone would have tipped them in their eight, or the majority of us would have tipped them in our eights at the start of the year. So to start 0-2, if they were to lose to St Kilda at home,
unacceptable.
Which would be unacceptable when you consider that they've played Melbourne and then St Kilda to start 0-2. They would have been penciling in 2-zip. I think everyone, when they were looking at those games, would have penciled them in to be 2-zip. So that is simply a must-win game, and they've really swung the changes at selection. I think the other one's Geelong after what happened on Monday. Now, people could say, look, that's just against Hawthorn, and they're the best team in the competition, but look, the Cats were really poor, and they've got some areas that they need to work on, and it's seemingly a lot of the areas that they need to work on were issues that they had last year. So against Fremantle at home, the benefit is that they go to Simmons Stadium, where it's a bit of a fortress down there. But I'll tell you what, Freo, well and truly a big chance down there. And the way that the Cats open the season, I'd certainly think, especially with Motlop out, that Fremantle might even start favourites.
Is that the biggest game of the round, Geelong versus Fremantle? Given that Freo, we know you're going to get consistent output from Fremantle, but yep, if they can start the season against the powerful Port Adelaide and away to the Cats 2-0, then they've really pitchforked themselves into the early part of the season and penned themselves in potentially for a top two finish. And I think that's where they need to be. If Freo could finish top two, if they could, say, take Sydney's spot there or deny Port Adelaide a spot alongside Hawthorn, we can't necessarily concede Hawthorn top two, but it's hard to imagine them not finishing top two. If Freo could grab one of those top two spots and get through the first two matches in the finals at home, then they could once again be a real premiership chance.
Yeah, 100%. I think for interstate clubs especially, the top two is more important than top four. To get that home final and that advantage, you guarantee yourself those home finals. Where top four for Melbourne clubs, majority of the time you're probably going to play against the Victorian side based on the amount of Victorian teams in the competition. So for Fremantle to start 2-0 would be a massive, massive bonus considering their opposition, as you mentioned. I think the other two games that I'm really looking forward to this week is Port Adelaide and Sydney. I think that's going to be a belter to prospective top four sides, and even Essendon and Hawthorn, just to see the way that Essendon back up after last week's heartbreaking defeat. Look, they were fantastic for three quarters against Sydney, but to see how they back up against the best team in the competition will be really fascinating and might tell us a bit of a story for what's to come at the end of the year.
I throw in Richmond and Western Bulldogs.
There's some good games of footy. Look, you can even make an argument for Melbourne and GWS with the way that both teams started their season. Yes, GWS wasn't as impressive as we'd like, but you know what? They got the 4 points, and there have been very few times where they've gone into a game as the favourites and have been expected to win. So dealing with that pressure would have been a little bit different for them. Anything but a win. I think anything outside of a win would have been disappointing, but they got across the line.
Why don't we take an early break, come back and start our in-depth analysis of what should be a fascinating round two in AFL action. 9429 1116. Our sponsors have got on board. We've got a raft of prizes to give away. All you need to do is become part of the contributing panel. Call yourself a panellist, ring in, make some worthwhile comments, and you could walk away with great prizes. So an early break. When we come back, the first game up for discussion, West Coast Eagles taking on the Blues.
League teams, the West Coast Eagles.
We're the Eagles, West Coast Eagles, and we're here to show you why.
Carlton.
We are the Navy Blues, we are the old dogs.
So, the first game of the round is West Coast Eagles versus Carlton, and we are going to be there in spades. Don't forget the coach's box, 6-2-7, Hutto, Moons, Rowan Connolly and Luke Beveridge. That's right, the successful Bulldogs coach in the coach's box from 6-7, then straight over to the west where Ben Allen and BP, along with that great man, Tim Gossage, will bring you all of the action. And I'll be there at the very end with Finney's final siren shortly after the completion of the game. The odds, West Coast, and these are sportsbet.com.au odds. West Coast Eagles, $1.47. Start favourites against the Blues, $2.70. And, of course, well, if you do bet, make sure that you do so responsibly. Let's have a look at the two teams. 9429 1116. Be part of the discussion. You can walk away with some great prizes from New York Minute Burgers, Sexy Land. We've also got great fitness, health and expo passes to give away. You name it, we've got it. If you're part of the discussion, let's have a look at the two teams and start off with the home side, the West Coast Eagles. From the back line, Elliot Yeo, Jeremy McGovern and Jamie Bennell. Half-back line, Shannon Hearn, Will Schofield, Brad Shepherd. Centre line of Andrew Gaff, Matt Prittis, the Brownlow medalist, and Matt Rosa. Half-forward flank of Chris Maston, Josh Kennedy, and Sherrod Wellingham. And the forward full forward line of Jamie Cripps, Scott Lysette, and Patrick McGinnity. The ruck division is Nick Natanui, Mark Lacroix, and Luke Shuey. The interchange, Liam Duggan, Jackson Nelson, Dom Sheed, and Simon Tunbridge. The emergencies, Brant College, Josh Hill and Kane Lucas. Into the side comes Jamie Bennell, Will Schofield, Liam Duggan, Simon Tunbridge. Out, Scott Selwood with an ankle injury, Mitch Brown with that season-ending knee injury, Sam Butler an adductor injury. His injury-plagued career just unfortunately cannot get a good run at things, Sam Butler. And Tom Lamb omitted. The new player is Liam Duggan. Over to Brett Anderson for the Blue Boys.
And the Carlton side from the back line is Sam Rowe, Michael Jamieson and Sam Doherty. The halfbacks are Andreas Everett, Chris Yaron and Zach Tui. Chris Yaron at halfback, interesting team selection. The centres Ed Curno, Andrew Carrazzo and Cade Simpson. The half forwards Bryce Gibbs, Troy Menzel and Tom Bell, another undersized centre-half forward. And the forward line is Liam Jones, Lockie Henderson and Mark Murphy. The followers are Cameron Wood, Simon White and Chris Judd. The interchange is Levi Casbolt back into the side. Patrick Cripps, Clem Smith and Jason Tutt for his first game for the footy club from the Western Bulldogs. The emergencies are Dennis Armfield, Kieran Byrne and David Allard. The ins for Carlton are Levi Casbolt and Jason Tutt, as I mentioned, for his first game. The outs are Christian Jacks with his rib injury and also Dale Thomas with his shoulder, who'll be missing the better part of 6 to 8 weeks. So a big game. Clem Smith obviously was on debut last week, but I think that Liam Duggan there for the Eagles, Finey, is a really good addition. Number 11 in the draft last
tell
year.
Tell us a little bit about him. Brett Anderson will always be able to bring you the backstory to new players or players rarely seen. Of course, the new boy here is Liam Duggan. Tell us a little bit about this kid.
Well, he's a left footer from the Western Jets. He's remarkably composed. He's got really good decision making skills with ball in hand. He's still a little bit light, But he's been really good in the waffle for the first few weeks of the season. He's been racking up over 20 possessions a game in senior footy. So he gets his opportunity to come in. He was, I think, the most professional player in the IIS Academy squad a few years ago and touted, and we hear this so many times, coming through the draft process, finally, future club captain. That was always pendant next to Liam Duggan's name. So fantastic to see him debut. Sad to see Tom Lamb go out of the side after his first game, but no doubt he'll get more opportunities as the season and his career progresses.
I'm surprised that Tom Lamb was omitted. He was given a run last week. I think he was a sub, was he?
He came on early, yep. He was the sub, so he came on early for the injured Mitch Brown. So he had the basically 3.25 quarters or 3.5 quarters.
And, look, he looks raw-boned, sort of a big leaper, blonde hair, and he made one of the stranger errors I've ever seen a footballer make. I think he thought a handball might have been a kick, but he received a handball in the forward pocket at Etihad Stadium, and he sort of stopped as though he expected the whistle to be blown, but obviously caught up in the moment, didn't quite realise that the ball hadn't been kicked to him. Funny moment there.
I'll quote his TAC Cup coach from last year, Craig Black, who told us that Tom can win you a game and Tom can lose you a game in his inside footy draft quote. It was Craig Black or Mark Wheeler, sorry, the development manager down there, the region manager. But yeah, that pretty much sums up, I think, Tom Lamb.
Yeah, I think it probably summed up his debut as well. Expect to see plenty more of him though as the season progresses. I'll give you first crack at the analysis. Who do you think will win and why? What are the key points in the matchup between West Coast and Carlton?
Look, really tough one to call with those outs for West Coast. I think Selwood being out's a massive one because he would normally go to Judd. So I think Judd would be looking to have a really big afternoon going back to the play against the team that he obviously won a premiership with and actually captained them to a premiership in the end. Look, flip of the coin, I'd go West Coast at home, but Carlton do have a really good record over in Perth, especially against the Eagles. So it wouldn't surprise me if they were to get over the line.
When you say they've got a good record against the West Coast Eagles, that probably stretches out over the last 5 to 7 years. They don't mind playing the ground. I'm not quite sure whether the style that was employed by Carlton early last week is suited to Subiaco or whatever it is now called.
Domain
Oval. They certainly lacked a bit of direct punch, didn't they? It seemed as though Carlton were very keen on maintaining possession of the ball. Their notion of depriving Richmond came with a fairly staccato style of kicking the ball around and maintaining possession. I don't know whether that works at Subiaco. In fact, I'm confident that it doesn't. So they need to be more direct.
And boundary heavy too, which is a Mick Malthouse trait in terms of his coaching. We saw it at Collingwood that they like to go around the boundary line, maintain possession, and get a stoppage if they can, whether it be a throw-in or a ball-up. So I think you do, at Subi, you need to take that risk and go through the corridor. And look, we saw some teams really take on the corridor last week, Melbourne being one, that really opened up for them and they were able to score heavily, especially if the team doesn't defend the corridor, not expecting it, which I don't think Gold Coast did last week. And possibly this week, West Coast wouldn't expect Carlton to go on that similar route. So it might be a type of play that they could certainly use throughout the game.
Be interested to hear from Carlton supporters as to who they believe is going to be ultimately their forward line setup. We know that Kaz Bolt's been named tonight. Lachie Henderson is down there. Sam Rowe folded forward last week and kicked a couple of late goals. I think Carlton really need to settle their tools, their key forwards. Do we concede that Lachie Henderson going to be a permanent key forward for them?
I would hope that he is. I hope that they don't fall into having to switch in between forward and back. And it would depend, obviously, on how guys are going in defence. But if they could leave him there for the entire year, I think that's the most benefit to Carlton, especially with a Kaz Bolt coming in to play deeper.
Levi Kaz Bolt, he definitely would play forward of centre. We can't expect him.
He's not going to play back, I wouldn't have thought. And he struggled last week in a VFL practice game, so it's an interesting selection because I think the weather forecast over in Perth for tomorrow is not great. I think it's meant
here is the weather forecast for tomorrow, tomorrow evening. Perth area partly cloudy, high. That is a 70% chance of showers, more likely in the afternoon and evening. Chance of a thunderstorm. Winds northeasterly, 20 to 30 kilometres an hour. So we're talking about a sort of evening that, given that Kaz Bolt wasn't all that good in a VFL practice match last week, wouldn't suit the high marking and strong marking Levi Kaz Bolt. Interesting selection there.
It's where eyes go straight to the emergency list and you have a look through and see which player might be best suited to those conditions. And look, Dennis Armfield being a WA boy might be one. He can come in and play a role as a defensive forward, gives them that run and dash and he'll put his head over it. So if there was to be a change there, maybe an Armfield in to take a tall out. But hopefully Kaz Bolt does play, gets his opportunity and takes it, because Carlton certainly need it.
Here's a few off the SMS. I predict C-Judd 3 votes. No Selwood, who always tags him.
Yep. Good call.
Also off the SMS, Bretton Finey, where is Blaine Bokehurst? Regards, Louis. Of course, Bokehurst was the surprise first selection by Carlton in this year's national draft, or the last year's national draft for this season. How's he been tracking?
Look, he played in the NAB Challenge and I thought he was okay. He held up more than well. I thought that he did enough to play round one from what I saw, but didn't get the opportunity. Has then gone back to obviously play in the VFL practice games. The VFL, I think, starts this week. So if he is to be lining up next week, sorry, because the Northern Blues actually this week finally play against the AFL Academy. So the best of the draft prospects coming forward for this year. So I might get a good look at him if he does play for the Northern Blues on Saturday as the curtain raiser to Richmond and the Bulldogs. But look, I was surprised he didn't play. He was a surprise draft pick last year. But I think from what we're hearing is that the Blues might have been spooked by a few clubs talking about taking him a few picks later. And in the end, he probably wasn't going to last through to pick 28.
Also off the SMS, echoing your thoughts about Levi Casbolt. Casbolt in for a wet game off a VFL practice match. Shocker. Bolting door after horse has bolted. So we'll wait to see whether or not that selection is a wise one. We know they've lost some height with Christian Jacks. Into the team comes Jason Tutt. So the second of the Bulldog recruits is going to make his debut. And it's not unfair to say that Liam Jones, after a promising start early in the game, faded out and presented the same sort of question marks and headaches to Carlton fans and Carlton selectors that he did to their compadres at the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah, very similar style of play, I guess, for Liam Jones. We thought that maybe the change in game plan where he doesn't have to get up and back as much as what he did at the Bulldogs might suit him. Look, he certainly did start well, so that was the one big tick. He just didn't quite finish it off. That miss from in close obviously hurt him in terms of his confidence. Jason Tutt, interesting that he comes in for his first game in that it's probably going to be wet. Jason Tutt's very much an outside player, an outside runner who can give them speed on the periphery of the contest. And he can kick goals. I think he kicked 4 on debut for the Bulldogs over in Adelaide, I think it was, a few years ago. So he is a goal kicker. They're going to need to find some because last week, after the first quarter and a half, it really dried up.
Let's get into our selections. I'm going to wait for your final selection. Got a good idea what it was in your summary, but here's my pick and the reason why. For mine, the West Coast Eagles to endure at home rather than to have a comfortable victory. We know that they've been pressed down back. Obviously, the losses of McKenzie, quickly followed up by Mitch Brown, are really going to stretch their resources. That being said, Jeremy McGovern performed brilliantly last week.
Superb.
Forced into the role of key defender and only defender, and he'll be delighted to have Will Schofield back. The fact that it's likely to be a wet afternoon and evening in Perth means that any advantage that Carlton would have hoped to have wrestled from a shorter West Coast backline might have disappeared or been washed away with the rain. And I think I've got a feeling Schofield and McGovern should be able to handle the Carlton talls. The battle of the midfield, well, West Coast don't really come up trumps in many midfield comparisons. Their midfield has been the question mark that's hung over their side for a couple of seasons. That being said, last year's Brownlow medalist Matt Prittis will get plenty of the ball, as will Chris Maston. It's how they use it that becomes all important. Luke Shuey's another one that gets touches. Andrew Gaff has had a good start to the season, much in the same way that he finished 2014. So the outside run from Gaff and Rosa probably presents a bigger threat than Carlton's outside run, which comes predominantly from Cade Simpson. Forward line, of course, is where the West Coast Eagles have been able to win matches in the past. Josh Kennedy and Mark Lacroix form a dangerous double act. Jamie Cripps kicked 5 goals last week. He loves a goal and likes folding forward of the play. As far as Carlton's defence is concerned, they need to have a better week than they had last week. Apart from Sam Doherty, I feel that the likes of Michael Jamieson and Zach Tui, Sam Rowe when he was down back, would be wanting better returns. For mine, a close run thing, home ground advantage, home crowd advantage, and the fact that Carlton have got some ongoing concerns that I don't think have been answered in the ins and outs this week, lead me to without a huge amount of confidence, pick the West Coast Eagles. Your final say on the game, Brett Anderson.
I'm of a very similar viewpoint, Finey. I think that it'll be West Coast by probably a goal or two. Very similar in the way that I think that West Coast midfield, for all the possessions that they do get, they don't hit the scoreboard. I had a look at analysis today, and I think they're the worst scoring midfield in terms of hitting the scoreboard of any team in the competition. So that's a bit of an issue for them, but that means they rely heavily on those forward six to kick their goals. Now, when you've got Josh Kennedy down there and also Mark Lacroix, that's all well and good. They need Jack Darling back, but he's still 8 weeks away. I think they'll just fall over the line, but it won't be pretty.
Interesting, by the way, to see former Blue and one of the real disappointing high draft picks for Carlton, Kane Lucas, who was picked up by the West Coast Eagles, named as a West Coast emergency. I doubt that they're going to give him a game unless there is a genuine injury concern there amongst one of the 22 named. But wouldn't it be interesting to see Kane Lucas come up against a team that he failed to fire for?
It would. I think Carlton supporters would probably enjoy seeing that because it would mean that someone's gone out of the side and it probably increases their chances of victory over there in the West.
I reckon there's a few Carlton supporters listening at the moment that would think if Kane Lucas is in the team,
we're a chance.
That improves their chances markedly. Bit unfair to Kane, but of course he'll have a chance probably throughout the season to prove his knockers wrong. West Coast Eagles for both of us. Well, the next game for discussion is one that I think a lot of diehard football fans right here in Melbourne are looking forward to. Saturday afternoon at the G, Richmond taking on the Western Bulldogs.
League teams, Richmond.
We're from Tigerland. A fighting fury, we're from Tigerland.
The Western Bulldogs.
It's a game that sportsbet.com.au consider Richmond to be close to good things in. $1.36 versus these young and last week highly impressive Western Bulldogs, $3.15. 9, 4, 2, 9, 11, 16. Well, I know there's plenty of Doggies and Tigers fans out there. Who's going to win this one and why? Especially from Bulldogs fans, given the imbalance in the odds. One would think, looking at those odds, that Richmond are a good thing. I'm not sure that they're the good thing that the odds say that they are. And I'd love to hear from Western Bulldogs fans as to exactly why you think you might be able to upset the apple cart. And then, of course, the other side of that coin is Richmond supporters telling us exactly why those odds are a fair indication of what the game will provide. Let's have a look at the two sides, starting, by the way, 145 at the MCG for this one. And let's kick it off with the Tigers. Backline, Troy Chaplin, Jake Batchelor, Alex Rance. Halfback line, Bashar Hooley, Nick Floston, Dylan Grimes. A centre line of Brandon Ellis, Trent Cochran and Camden McIntosh. Half forward line, this new Tyro in the forward line. Three possessions, but they loved his game. Stephen Morris, Shane Edwards, Kane Lambert. Full forward line, Jack Riewoldt, Ben Griffiths, Sam Lloyd. Ruck division, Ivan Murridge, Dustin Martin, Taylor Hunt. And the interchange, Sean Grigg, Chris Newman, Anthony Miles and Nathan Gordon. The emergencies. Gee, there's a good name on this emergency, amongst this emergency group for Tigers fans. David Asprey, Ricky Pettit and Chris Knights closing in on a return to senior action. Over to you, Bretto, for the Doggies.
The undefeated Western Bulldogs, two after one round, Doggies fans. From the back line, you've got Matthew Boyd, Jordan Ruffhead and Dale Morris. The halfbacks are Robert Murphy, Michael Talia and Easton Wood. The centres, Tory Dixon, Mitch Honeychurch and Jack McRae. The half-forwards, Luke Dalhouse, Ace Cordy in for his first game of the season and Stewie Cramery. The forward line of Jake Stringer, Tom Boyd and Mitch Wallace. The followers, Will Minson, Lynn Jong and Marcus Bontempelli. The interchange, Jared Grant, Jason Johannesson, Liam Picken and Brett Goods. The emergencies for the Bulldogs, Nathan Rovat, Lucas Webb and Jack Redpath, who's been left out of the side. The ins are Ace Cordy and the out is Jack Redpath omitted. And I think he's pretty stiff to go out of the side from what we saw in the NAB Challenge. I thought his form was good enough. Obviously disappointed a little bit last week.
A mighty Bulldogs, pride of the mighty West. Let's go straight to our callers. Oh, I've got a feeling that both sets of supporters are looking forward to this one and optimistic. Gee, if the Doggies could win this game, There's going to be a bit of a buzz about the boys in red, white and blue.
There certainly will be. And look, I think they're certainly within a chance. When you look at the two lineups and the way that they've both gone about their footy over the last couple of weeks, there's a really good opportunity for the Bulldogs to be 2-0 there. And I think they should flood the MCG because they don't get too many opportunities there throughout the year.
Let's go straight to our callers. Mitch is in Berwick. G'day, Mitch.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Very well, thank you.
So, big Tigers fan down here, but interested in the Bulldogs at the moment, and especially because they've got such a young group, and they won the, you know, their VFL team won the flag last year as well, which shows a bit of promise going forward. I think it's going to be a bit of a big scoring game. I'm sort of tipping both teams over 120, and a lot of runs through the midfield from both teams. So I think the battle's really going to be who can run and carry the most, who can hold possession through the middle of the ground. But I think the Tigers will probably two and a half goals, something like that. I think just a little bit more experience, and that's sort of what I'm going for. You know, they've had a couple of years playing some bigger games and winning some bigger games now.
Gee, I mean, hang on to the line as well, Mitch. We've got two bottles of fine Yarra Valley wines from Kellybrook Winery available for you. It's in Fulford Road in Wonga Park. And if you go there, mention SEN, you get 20% off the cellar door price at Kellybrook Winery. Not bad indeed. Mitch, oh look, I'm not sure about 122 plus for each team. I think that's probably beyond.
I hope it is for someone who's going to the game. It'll be an entertaining contest.
And I'm going as well. I'll be there taking two of my four children, the two that Barry for Richmond and the Bulldogs.
So very good.
That's a inter-family battle. 120 plus per team's probably a little bit much to expect, but I don't think it's impossible to see both teams scoring around or above 100 points.
Which yes, would
be that'd be a modern-day shootout.
It certainly would be, and we saw in the Bulldogs, certainly Richmond's point of view from about halfway through the second quarter against Carlton, they really got going, and their transition running was something that impressed me. They were able to gut run forward and back, and that's something we probably haven't quite seen out of Richmond's midfield in the last few years. Very good going forward, not so good going the other way. So I think they've got the ability to score. Western Bulldogs, I've now seen them for a half against Melbourne in Ballarat, where they were very good. The first half, they were terrible. And then against Collingwood, they were outstanding. And again, last week against the West Coast Eagles, they were very good again. So they've put together 2.5 really good weeks of footy. And they do. They like to take the game on. They work really hard. Luke Beveridge has got them playing a nice style of footy. So I don't think it's totally out of the realms of possibility that we see a very high-scoring game.
Let's head to Airport West with Al. Good evening, Al.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Well, thanks.
All right, look, I actually don't think the odds are reflective of what the game's going to be, but I do think it's going to be a close game. I'm a Tigers fan, but I do think one thing's going to test the Bulldogs, and that'll be the bigger ground. They really did choke the West Coast Eagles last week on the Etihad. But I think the other thing that's where the game's going to be won and lost, I do think that the Tigers will probably look to cut even in the middle, but if not, if we do lose like we did last week in the clearances, I think that our backline structure and hopefully our forward line efficiency will get us over the line. I think the Dogs have got a sensational midfield. Their small brigade's really good, but their taller guys are still developing, and I do think that we'll get the edge over them in the back half and hit them on the counter.
Here, here. I'm sitting right next to Al in Airport West, so much so that, hang on to the line, Al, I'm going to send you to one of my favourite places, New York Minute Burgers, Mooney Ponds and Williamstown, voted top 10 burger by Matt Preston and the Herald Sun for the last 2 years, which is the only 2 years they've been in operation. Hang on to the line, you've won two $40 vouchers from there, so that's where I see the game. Look, last week, the Bulldogs forward line had an opportunity presented to them to really make a mark, and certainly for young, tall Jack Redpath, it was an opportunity missed, subbed and now dropped. When you're playing against a team that already has their best key defender not playing, Eric McKenzie, another key defender, Will Schofield, unavailable, and then Mitch Brown going down at the start of the game, to not be able to really take advantage of that, their mid-size forwards jumped on board. Jake Stringer's an absolute beauty, and Richmond are going to have to be very wary of his potential output. But not only are they not playing a depleted back line this week, they're playing one of the best back lines in the competition. Alex Rance, I think if you ask people to name your best AFL team, I'm not talking about the all-Australian team, just pick your best team. A lot of people would have Alex Rance at full-back, Brett.
Yeah, they certainly would. And I think Al makes a really good point about the MCG. Now, the Bulldogs, since 2010, have only played six times at the MCG, which is a remarkable number for a Victorian side. And in four of those six games, they've conceded over 100 points. So the caller before was talking about how we might see a bit of a shootout. Well, those stats at the MCG, with their points conceded over the last sort of 4 or 5 years, suggest that they could well concede over 100 again. And the way that the Bulldogs play, and we've seen the first few weeks, and also against Collingwood, that they can score freely themselves as well. So certainly a shootout is on the cards, but the fact that they're very new to playing at the MCG, a lot of these kids, the Bulldogs kids who have been on the list for a couple of years, probably haven't even played there. They might have played there once, which is remarkable for a Victorian side. So that is a good point, though, because Richmond are there, I think, 15 or 16 times this year, and the Bulldogs just once or twice.
Let's go to Jeff in Tarnoot. Good evening, Jeff.
Yeah, g'day, guys. I agree with the previous caller. I think the midfield is going to be very, very contested. I think they're pretty even, but I think the X factor is going to be Ace Cordy. I think Ace Cordy is going to go down the back line. He's 6 foot, what, 6'7"?
Yep.
And he's going to make a big difference.
Gee, I'll believe it when I see it, to be honest, Jeff.
Ace to go back. Yeah, that's a big call. I've only seen him play in the ruck and play forward. Haven't seen him play back too often.
I mean, if he does go back, then Ruffhead will go forward, because any time they've been in close proximity, they've tried them. This goes back two or three seasons. In the early days, they tried them both up forward, and that was a spectacular failure. So, look, they're both tall, angular type of footballers. I would have thought that they take a position at the opposite ends of the ground, maybe with Ace Cordy providing some ruck support for Will Minson, but I don't think he's going to go back.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. And when you look at what the Bulldogs have done recruiting-wise up until the last few years, a lot of the key position players, or the players they've tried to groom into key position, were actually drafted as ruckmen. So you look at Ruffhead was drafted as a ruckman, so was Ace Cordy. You've also got Tom Campbell, who they are rucking, but they've also played key forward. And I guess you could say Tom Boyd actually played some ruck too in the TAC Cup. But they're players that they try to transition into different positions. I can't see Ace going back, but an interesting call nonetheless.
Richmond for you?
Richmond for me, and they should win the game if they want to get where they want to go this year, which should be top six.
I'm going for the Tigers. I think that Bulldogs midfield will be doing well to chop out against the Tigers midfield. I know last week they're a little bit disappointing, but can we really expect Martin and Coxon to have similarly disappointing games? We know Deledio's out for a week. The inclusion, Kane Lambert, a prolific possession winner in the VFL. Expect him to perform admirably. He's a good player and not dissimilar in a way to Miles, who is at the club now, knows how to get his hands on the ball. So I don't think they're going to miss a lot there.
Yep.
The problem is when the Bulldogs go forward, they're meeting a very capable back line.
Yeah, exactly.
And I just get a sense that Richmond will springboard from the back like they did against the Blues and record not a thrashing, but a fairly comfortable victory. I'm thinking 5 to 6 goals. If you're heading to the G on Saturday, looks like a beautiful day. Cloudy in the morning, clearing to a sunny afternoon. Light winds, minimum of 10, but a nice sunny autumn afternoon in Melbourne, top of 21 degrees. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll have a look at the undefeated clash of two of the up-and-comers in the AFL, GWS and Melbourne.
League teams, GWS Giants.
We're the greatest of Western Sydney Giants. We're the biggest and the
Melbourne.
It's a grand old flag, it's a high-flying flag. It's the emblem for me and for you. It's the emblem.
11:16 SEN will be at Star Trek Oval in Canberra. Next starting at 10 past 2, but we'll be there from 1 o'clock with Matty Granlund and our PM, Kevin Bartlett, Scott Lucas to provide special comments. The odds makers, sportsbet.com.au, read it thus. GWS, $1.46. Melbourne, $2.70. Let's have a look at the two teams and start off with the GWS Giants. From the back line, Heath Shaw, Phil Davis, Joel Petfel. Our back line of Nick Haynes, Aidan Corr and Rhys Palmer. Centre line, Thomas Bugg, Kellen Ward, Tom Scully. Half forward line, Lockie Whitfield, Jeremy Cameron, Cam McCarthy. Full forward, trio of Adam Treloar, Adam Tomlinson and Josh Kelly, the ruck division, Shane Mumford, Stephen Cornelio and Dylan Shield, the interchange, Toby Green, Nathan Wilson, Devon Smith and Ryan Griffin, and the emergencies are Matt Bunting, Zach Williams and Andrew Phillips.
The Melbourne side, the 1-0 Melbourne side, from the back line, Colin Garland, Lyndon Dunn, Jeremy Howe. The halfbacks, Neville Jetta, Tom McDonald and Christian Salem. The centre line of Daniel Cross, Heritier Lumumba, Ben Newton. Half forwards, Dean Kent, Jesse Hogan, Jack Viney. The forward line, Jeff Garlett, Chris Dawes and Jack Watts. The followers, Mark Jamar, Dom Tyson and Nathan Jones. On the interchange bench, Angus Brayshaw, Sam Frost, Bernie Vince and Aaron Vandenberg. The emergencies for the Melbourne Football Club, Jay Kennedy Harris, Viv Michie and Jake Spencer. Two changes for Melbourne in Chris Dawes and Bernie Vince, both coming back, one from suspension, the other from injury. And the outs are Jimmy Tumpas omitted and Jay Kennedy Harris omitted, who I think is a little bit stiff.
I should have mentioned that there is one change for the Giants. Nathan Wilson has come in to replace Kirtley Hampton. Well, in a moment, I'm going to 9429 1116. Any Melbourne fans out there, and especially those who believe that they can go 2-0, because in a moment, Brett Anderson will explain why this is as good a looking Melbourne side as he has seen for a long time. But let's take calls, 9429 1116, and kick them off with Ian in View Bank. Good evening, Ian.
Yeah, g'day, fine. How are you going, mate?
Good, thanks. How are you?
That's the way. Yeah, very well. Listen, I think Melbourne can beat GWS and get a bit of momentum going.
That'd be a lot of momentum, I reckon.
Yeah, exactly. But two in a row would be really good.
Yeah.
But this round shows you that there's seven of the nine games are winners and losers playing each other.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? So you've got West Coast and Carlton all losers. Yeah, Richmond, Western Bulldogs all winners that we're talking about now. Collingwood and Adelaide all winners. Gold Coast and St Kilda, pair of losers. Port Adelaide versus Sydney, we have a split. Geelong Fremantle, we have a split. And then, of course, Essendon and Hawthorn are split. But North Melbourne and Brisbane are...
Two losers. Round one.
So yeah. That's 6 out of 9, I think it was.
Yeah,
so, that's still a good
It ups the ante. Certainly for those... Makes it very interesting. Good point made by Ian. Makes it interesting for teams that have lost a game already and that have some aspirations this season. It's an early test, isn't it?
Put your two games behind, effectively, from a lot of those sides that will win one of those two winners games. So it is a bit of a test. When we're looking at this game with the Demons, and this is why I think that this is Melbourne's best side in a long, long time. The last week we saw, I think, the first time Paul Roos has actually had his imprint on the side. He was able to pick players that he's either selected or drafted or brought into the footy club and wasn't left over with players from a previous regime. So, unfortunately, we saw Jack Grimes go out of the side. We saw Matt Jones go out. We saw Rowan Bale go out. But he effectively picked guys who can kick the footy and make good decisions out of defence. The two youngsters that have gone out, Jimmy Tumpas, looked a little bit off the pace last week. I think Kennedy Harris was stiff, as I said earlier. But bringing in Chris Dawes, who can really stretch a GWS defence, which if you're looking at their weakness, it's certainly in their key position posts down back. And Bernie Vince, who was a class act last year for the Demons. So two fantastic ins. And look, the odds for this game, say GWS $1.40, Melbourne $2.70. I think it's a lot closer than that. Look, GWS have got every right to go in as favourites, but there's some pretty good odds for the Demons considering the way they played their footy last week against what you would say is a better side in Gold Coast.
Simon in Sandringham wants to talk about those young Ds. Good evening, Simon.
G'day, Finey. Look, the kid that everyone's missed is Aaron Vandenberg. He was fantastic. First round rookie draft pick.
Is he from Canberra?
Yeah, he is.
There you go.
Going back to Canberra this weekend, hugely excited.
As you should be,
too. Fantastic weekend.
Yeah, as you should be. He was fantastic last week.
And he will be up and about going back home to play an AFL game on the back of an excellent debut.
And he's as hard as a cat's head, too. We saw some real good second efforts that he put on the weekend with some smothers, and he came off the line at one stage and crunched a Gold Coast player, which then led to a Melbourne goal going the other way. Actually, I think he did it twice, led to two Melbourne goals. So he's a player who's really come in and shot out of nowhere. He's actually one of the few players who got drafted last year, finally. We didn't have in our draft guide for inside footy. He came so far off the radar that that we didn't even bother searching some information about him because no one gave him to us. He was the real Smokey. And to go pick one in the rookie draft It was a really good effort. 56 possessions, I think, in a needful game last year. But I'd certainly be thrilled from what we saw last week. And he's a player who can add some impact over the next few years, being only 23 years old.
Let's have a listen to Melbourne coach Paul Roos. You mentioned that you thought that this might be on paper their best team for a long time, and I think the coach agrees.
Well, as most teams are, you know, now trying to be a good two-way running team, and as I said, we felt we addressed their defensive issues last year, but struggled with the ball in hand, and today was really good. It was a good balance.
A more balanced Melbourne side.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's only going to be assisted by another midfielder in Bernie Vince and a forward in Chris Dawes. Just looking at GWS, they were a tad disappointing last week. They had St Kilda by the short and curlies in that second quarter. They really had gained ascendancy, and they were getting a lot of free passage through the centre of Etihad Stadium. Now, St Kilda tightened up, but GWS didn't put the foot down on the throat in that second quarter and part of the third quarter, and they left the door open, and you know, in the end, they won by less than 2 goals, and I've got to say, that had Nick Revolt been on the field for the last 20 minutes, they may well have lost that game, given how often the ball was in the St Kilda forward 50. So
agreed, yep.
They can't allow a similar type of a similar type of lackadaisical football when they're on top. It's as we've seen, modern football does run in patches, and it's not unusual. We had a number of teams in round one score unanswered goals. 7 unanswered goals happened at least on 3 or 4 occasions, certainly on 3 occasions, maybe even on 4 occasions. But it's what GWS does in those periods of ascendancy, which we expect will occur, that may well go a long way to deciding this game. When you put your selections in, just be cognizant of the fact that GWS and Melbourne is being played in Canberra. Had it been played at GWS's home ground, where they've had some claimed some very good scalps, I would have been more confident in tipping them.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, still do tip them.
Look, I'm going to tip them too, but only just. I think a goal or two might be the difference in this game. I think that when you look at the midfield that you were alluding to there, finally with taking their opportunities, they dominated that midfield contest last week against St Kilda, thanks to Shane Mumford putting in a dominant display in ruck against Billy Longa, whether it would be pushing forward after the contest or pushing back.
Yeah, Mumford's
not going to get it all his own way this week, exactly, against Mark Jamar, who I thought on the weekend was second best on ground for his performance against Zach Smith. He bullied Zach Smith in that game, and in fact, I think he had Zach Smith jumping at shadows by about the third quarter. So he was fantastic. It was a clinical display in ruck with putting it down the throat of his midfielders. So that's going to be a really good battle between two really physical ruckmen, and whoever gets on top on that one might decide the outcome, because I think Melbourne's midfield is a lot deeper than what it's ever been before. But you look at GWS, there's first-round picks everywhere. There's pre-draft picks. I think they get over the line, but only just. I'm certainly not giving Melbourne. I'm not throwing Melbourne away. I think they're in with a massive chance in this game.
Simon, you still with us? Just wanted to know if Simon was still there. You still there, Simon?
Still here, Finey.
I've got a question for you. Who picks up Jeremy Cameron?
Look, I've always been a huge Colin Garland fan. But, you know, Jeremy Howe can jump. But the best part about this whole thing is Paul Roos has now picked 23 of the 40-odd players that are on Melbourne's list. Over half our list has now been picked by him.
That's it.
League teams, Collingwood. Adelaide.
We're the pride of South Australia. We're the mighty Adelaide Crows.
There's a game that's going to be covered by 11:16 SEN with Brett Phillips and Nathan Thompson calling the action. Nick Maxwell will be providing special comments. Great to have the Collingwood skipper, former Collingwood skipper, casting an eye over his old team. Odds, sportsbet.com.au, mark Adelaide as the favourites. Collingwood are $2.60, Adelaide $1.50, and I wonder whether Collingwood fans think that that's a reasonable assessment after that very good win up in Brisbane round one. Let's have a look at the Collingwood side. Backline, Alan Tuvey, Nathan Brown, Ben Sinclair. Half backline of Tom Langdon, Jack Frost and Jackson Ramsey. Centreline, Travis Barker, Dane Swan, Jack Crisp. Half forward line of Jamie Elliott, Jesse White, Tim Broomhead, and a forward line of Alex Fasolo, Travis Cloak, Jared Blair. Ruck Division, Brody Grundy, Taylor Adams, Scott Pendlebury. The interchange reads Tyson Goldsack, Marley Williams, Paul Seedsman and Adam Oxley. And the emergency, Sam Dwyer, Patrick Carnesis and Corey Galt. Into the side come Tim Broomhead and Paul Seedsman. We know Steel Sidebottom is out with that thumb injury. And Jordan Goey, after making his debut last week, has been omitted.
The Adelaide Crows from the back line, Luke Brown, Kyle Hardigan and Matthew Yench. The halfbacks, Brody Smith, Daniel Tarley and Kyle Cheney. The centre line of Patrick Dangerfield, Rory Sloane and Ricky Henderson. Half forwards, David McKay, Tom Lynch and Nathan Van Berlo. The forward line, Josh Jenkins, Taylor Walker and Eddie Betts. The followers, Sam Jacobs, Richard Douglas and Matthew Wright. The interchange bench, Mitch Grieg, Charlie Cameron and Cam Ellis-Yolman and Rory Laird. The emergencies, James Podsiadley still can't find his way into that side. Jared Lyons and Brodie Martin. The one change for Adelaide sees Mitch Grieg come into the side and Jared Lyons is omitted. And he had 10 possessions in 32% game time last week. So to go out of a side that won by 70-odd points when you got a fair bit of the footy yourself is a bit unlucky, but that shows the strength of Adelaide at the moment.
Let's have a listen to the new coach of the Adelaide Crows. It was a big win. Everybody was up and about in Adelaide. Is he buying into all of this hype?
I'm not buying into that just yet, Rooch. I need a greater sample size. So we've got work to do. I didn't like what I saw at the start of the third quarter, and it's really easy for that to creep in to other parts of games as well. So I'm still having a cold shower, Rooch.
He's a hard man, isn't he?
I love it. Still having a cold shower. And it's a good attitude to take, because there's an old saying in football, things are never quite as good as they seem when they're going well, or probably as bad as people make out if things aren't going your way. So he's taken the view of, yeah, it was great, but that's not the sample size that he's going to be relying upon. And it's a fair take as well. That being said, what a great first up game for a captain, produced by Taylor Walker. 6 goals, 5. But more than just that, he was up and about. If he wasn't in the play, if he wasn't kicking the score himself, he was certainly causing headaches for his North Melbourne defenders. Running, staying mobile, never resting on his laurels. He was always up and about. And that's going to present a real challenge to the Collingwood backline. We know, of course, no Ben Reid at this stage. He's still coming back from that long-term injury. And, of course, Lachie Keefe cannot be selected as they wait for that B sample to come back. So it's going to fall to Nathan Brown, who's had scalps in the past, but there's always a notion that his own body has limitations. I just think that Taylor Walker might be physically too strong for Nathan Brown. Maybe Jack Frost, who's a bigger type, will get a crack at him. I think Nathan Brown goes first. The midfield battle is fascinating, though, because some of the stars of the competition will be going head-to-head. Patrick Dangerfield, Rory Sloane. Dane Swan was close to best on ground. Pendlebury's never far away from best on ground. Of course, Taylor Adams stepped up last week against the Brisbane Lions. So the midfield battle promises to be very interesting. Sam Jacobs reads as the preeminent ruckman on the ground. So if he can get on top and stamp himself with authority, give first usage to Adelaide on more than a handful of occasions, I just think quick service into that forward line will be enough for the Crows to win.
I think that's pretty much the way that I see it too, Finey. We've been on the money, or we've been very similar in all our projections so far, or our predictions of what's going to go on. That Collingwood midfield without Steel Sidebottom, I think it just loses a step there when you look at Adelaide's midfield. They're a bit more dynamic on the outside. Yeah, Pendlebury and Swan are very good, and Taylor Adams played some good footy last week. But yeah, when you look at on the flip side for Adelaide, you've got Sloane and Dangerfield. As game breakers that can really burst from either inside or out and power away from a contest. I think that's going to be a bit of a difference there. Richard Douglas was very good last week too for the Crows. Collingwood's form at Etihad is actually really strong for a club who many would think don't play there that often. They've actually won 14 of their last 17 at the venue, so that's nothing that they can go into the game worrying about of playing at that different venue. I think Adelaide's got a decent record at Etihad themselves too, so I think we're going to see a really high quality contest. Collingwood were really brave last week with their win, and eventually they fell over the line. Brisbane came hard at them, but it was a really big one because Brisbane built themselves up to win that game at home in round one with obviously Dane Beams coming into the side. But I think it's going to be Adelaide for me at the end of the day. I think they're a really good side. I had them in the top six at the start of the year in terms of my predicted ladder, and I don't think that that's going to change. So I'm going to stick with Adelaide by a couple of goals.
wonder if there are any Collingwood fans out there that genuinely think that Collingwood are going to win this game. And
I think it would be.
I'm not saying that they absolutely cannot win this game. When pressed on a selection, I will be tipping Adelaide. But I do so knowing that there is a version of Collingwood that can win this game. We'd love to hear from any Collingwood supporter that can put into words that case. 9-4-2-9-11-16. Pies fans, if there is 4 points that you think will end up going back to Westpac Centre, tell us the way it happens, because I've described a way that it won't happen. Going forward, Adelaide, look, they're well served. We know Taylor Walker, Tom Lynch, Josh Jenkins might be the one, though, that gets off the leash. If they keep everybody under wraps, Josh Jenkins remains a very difficult matchup for mine.
Yeah, he does. I think Eddie Betts, for me, is the one who might get off the leash there. You look at Collingwood's backs, they've got Alan Tuvey down there. Ben Sinclair's been groomed to play that small defensive role. I'm not 100% sold on him yet. Eddie Betts is a very good footballer. I think he's an A-grader, Eddie Betts, and he's come along very well in the last few years over at Adelaide. I think he's the one who can cause the most damage, aside from Taylor Walker, who everyone would look at. I think also that when you look at Collingwood's lineup, especially Ford, it's still Travis Cloke dependent on what's going to happen. Jesse White was a bit better last week. We need to see a little bit more of that. And they need to find some goals out of their smalls with Jamie Elliott and Tim Broomhead coming into the side as a kid. I've got a few raps on. I'm quite happy to see him back in. They just need to try and find a way to get Ben Kennedy in as well.
Off the SMS from an anonymous contributor, Douglas to put on a show. Richard Douglas has been a really good performer for Adelaide without, I think, consistently putting the football to his best.
Yeah, exactly.
His best football is very smart and very damaging.
I think it is. And look, I think he had a really strong 2013 season where he might have come runner-up in the best and fairest from memory. Last year, he was a bit more disappointing. He struggled to string some games together. His form eluded him. I think he might have had some injury issues as well. So good to see him start the season in top form. Just went off the SMS here. Bloody AFL, two away games for Collingwood to start the season. First the Gabba and then a trip to Etihad, disgraceful. So the Pies fans aren't happy, obviously, with not being at the MCG.
Oh, I think having a bit of fun there. They should be pretty happy to be playing Adelaide at Etihad Stadium. It's an opportunity for them to...
Well, the Crows got them at the MCG last year, so...
That's right. Off the SMS, Crows have sucked you all in after Kangaroos' woeful effort. There's always two ways of looking at a big thrashing, and that is that one team was brilliant and the other team was lamentable. Are we giving Adelaide too much credit for that performance?
Have a look at their NAB Challenge form. They were very good in beating Port Adelaide, and Port Adelaide are going to be a side who is a premiership challenger this year. And that was a Port Adelaide side who'd rested players in the previous week for a full dress rehearsal for the round one of the season. So I don't think that form against North Melbourne was a charade or... anything like that, or a mirage as to what we might expect from Adelaide this year. I think they're going to be a really strong footy side, and I can expect that this week that they'll come over and take home the four premiership points.
Let's head towards the old Waverley Park and go a little bit further and end up in Roeville with Peter. Good evening, Peter.
G'day, mate. I think we've got a fair chance. We've got some young kids that are coming into that side that are hungry, that have been perhaps held back a little bit. There's some good kids coming through that are coming through from the VFL side. I would have liked to have seen Freeman and perhaps, I can't think of the other guy's name, but definitely Freeman in that side, because I believe he is a tougher under player that's got some pace that the side needs in the middle.
Who are they? Freeman from the Sandringham Dragons was denied football last year. He
had the hamstring injury against Geelong in the NAB Challenge down there.
Was held back by injury last season, but he's expected to play a fair bit of footy this year. He's a real tough nut.
He is. He's tough. He's got that explosive power out of stoppages, which everyone's looking for these days. So he's got some really nice traits. He'll have to bide his time in the VFL through the early part of the season to push his way in. I think he's still got some areas he needs to work on, but Collingwood are quite happy with the way that he has developed. And the other one is Broomhead, who's come into the side. But Carnesis not in the side is a little bit surprising for me, considering the way that he started the NAB Challenge. Obviously, he petered out, but he's a player who can really change a game on a wing or half forward.
Are you surprised to see Dugowie dropped?
A little bit. Look, I probably didn't catch as much of that game as I would have liked to, but I know that they're really happy with De Goey and the way that he's gone this preseason, and there have been some big raps to me from a few of the assistant coaches. So he'll go back to the VFL and work hard to get back into the side.
Let's stay out in the east of Melbourne in Ringwood. Bob joins us. Good evening, Bob.
Morning, how are you?
I'm well.
That's the way, mate. Oh, mate, there's a long way to go for the Pies, mate. There's no doubt about it. I think, we don't seem to recruit very well, you know. We don't get older in big names. I don't know why, but we haven't been able to do it. We get some draft picks every now and again, but Bucks has gotten a lot of heat, mate, and I don't know if he brings it on himself. It's just the name Collingwood, mate. Everyone wants to jump on and stab the shit out of him, if you know what I mean. But we've got a long way to go, mate, a long way to go.
I think you're going to be okay. In a couple of years' time there, Bob, I think you'll be okay. And look, in any sport, and you tell me a sport where premierships or championships have won via free agency and via trade, they're won via the draft, and I think Collingwood has drafted well.
That's the thing.
It's a sneaky rebuild that they're doing at the moment. It's not a full rebuild, it's a sneaky rebuild, and I think they're on the right track. Just have some patience with them, and I think Nathan Buckley's the right man to lead them.
That's exactly right. There's a lot of young players on that list. And one thing the Collingwood supporters can point to is an investment in the future. And you only need to look at the inclusions this week. Tim Broomhead is a perfect example of somebody that is a long-term player for the Collingwood Football Club. And sure, maybe in the short term against the bigger bodies of the Adelaide Crows, this team might not come over and get over the line. But I think long-term, sneaky rebuild's a great term.
Yeah, and there's five first-round picks that we've hardly seen much of. You've got Ben Kennedy, Jordan De Goey played one game last week. Matt Scharenberg hasn't played a game yet. You've also got Nathan Freeman, as mentioned, and then Tim Broomhead, who hasn't played much. So there's five first-round picks, possibly more, that we've seen very little to nothing of. Collingwood are on the right track. Just have some faith and stick with them.
Right track, long-term. Short-term, we both go for Adelaide. Yep. Let's have a look at the Suns hosting the Saints.
League teams, the Gold Coast Suns. We are the Suns on the Gold Coast sky. We are one in the red, gold, and blue. St Kilda. When the Saints go marching in.
Oh, when the Saints go marching in. Tune in for Stoop and Brett Thomas will be there calling the action. Adrian Fletcher providing special comments. He's got a great footy brain, Adrian Fletcher. You can catch his work every Monday night around 8:30. With Robert Shaw, and this week in with Robert Shaw, in the studio, David Armitage. So be very interested to get his take following the Gold Coast St Kilda game. $1.18 says sportsbet.com.au for the hometown team, Gold Coast and St Kilda at $4.50. Let's have a look at Gold Coast from the back line. Seb Tapes, Stephen May, Greg Broughton, halfback line of Adam Sard, Rory Thompson and Nick Belcheski. Centre line, Cade Collegejasny, Gary Ablett, Jared Harbrow, half-forward line of Harley Bennell, Tom Lynch and Jack Martin, Jared Garlett, Sam Day and David Swallow across the forward line. The followers are Zach Smith, Michael Riscatelli and Dion Prestia. And the interchange, Alex Sexton, Mitch Hallahan, Sean Lemons, Tuke Miller. The emergencies, Daniel Gorringe, Brendan Matera and Aaron Hall. Into the side comes Seb Tape, Tom Lynch and Sean Lemons. Out goes Matt Shaw suspended, Daniel Gorringe omitted and Trent McKenzie, who I certainly noted last week didn't have the due respect for Melbourne that he needed to, has been duly punished and has been dropped.
The St Kilda lineup from the back line, Shane Savage, Luke Delaney and Sean Dempster. The halfbacks, Jaron Geary, Sam Fisher and Jack Nunes. The centre line of Cam Shenton, David Armitage and Jack Stephen. Half forwards, Jack Loney, Nick Riewoldt, Jack Sinclair. The forward line, Tim Membry, Josh Bruce and Ahmed Saad. The followers, Billy Longer, Luke Dunstan and Maverick Weller against his old side. The interchange, Adam Schneider, Jack Billings, Dylan Roberton and Tom Curran. The emergencies, Eli Templeton, Blake Akers and Nathan Wright. For St Kilda, the ins are Jack Billings and Tom Curran. The outs are Eli Templeton omitted and Lee Montagna with a knee, which is a big blow because he went into that game hobbled and he looked like he was underdone and might have done some further damage. So a few milestones too, Finey, in this game. You've got Luke Delaney, his 50th game. Sam Fisher playing his 200th game. Mav Weller playing his 50th game. And on the Gold Coast side, you've got Jared Harbrow playing game 150.
Maverick Weller's 50th game is an interesting place to kick off our discussion because I'm not 100% certain Gary Ablett will play if he is in the same physical condition as he was last week, then surely he can't take the football field against the Saints. And if he does, he'll be tested by the 50th game of Maverick Weller, who'll run with him.
Physical.
And he plays a very, very physical type of game. That's something that Gary Ablett has acknowledged. He's a mate of Maverick Weller's, and he's got high regard for his ability to press him physically. Now, the last thing that the Gold Coast Suns could afford is a worsening of that shoulder.
A recurrence,
shoulder.
Yeah,
a
exactly.
A recurrence, a need for Gary Ablett to go under the surgeon's knife. Don't play him unless he's fully fit.
I'd say a very similar player to the player that he had matched up on him last week in Jack Viney. Both hard but fair. And that was the one thing about Jack Viney's efforts last week. There was nothing outside the rules. There was no scragging. There was no holding the jumper. He played hard and fair. He tackled him when he needed to tackle. And he made sure he earned every kick. And that's what you're going to get out of Mav Weller this week.
The Gold Coast need to certainly start the game better than they did against Melbourne, because their early approach, when you combine a little bit of... gingerness. Let's call him a little bit ginger last week. Gary Ablett, just not 100% certain at every contest. With Jack Martin, who was physically oppressed by the Melbourne midfield. Harley Bennell, who flashed in and out of the game and on a couple of occasions looked less than committed to the contest.
And all three of them, I think the thing with them, Fine, is defending. They didn't defend. There was no tackles being laid. Jack Martin probably laid a couple, but none of those three players really defended. And you can chuck in Zach Smith, who we spoke about earlier, in terms of physical intimidation with the ruckman, Mark Jamer. He really needs to bounce back hard this week.
Off the SMS, it's a fair question here. Very surprised that they dropped Eli Templeton but retained Saad. Look, I'm not all that surprised that Eli Templeton was dropped. He didn't have a particularly good NAB challenge and didn't grasp the nettle last week against the Giants, but equally surprised that Ahmed Saad retained his spot in the team, because he could not get the ball last week. Nothing went right for him.
No, I was doing the boundary, obviously, with 11-16 SEN, and I was surprised that Dylan Robertson was the player who was subbed and not Ahmed Saad. He'd hardly had any impact on the game. I think he had one handball for the day, which might have even been a turnover. So surprising in that regard that he wasn't subbed and then probably wasn't left out of the side this week. But what if St Kilda got to come in? They do have a fair few injury issues down there, so that might have been taken into consideration.
One of those injury issues, Nathan Wright, has been named as an emergency. So he's potentially back in the lineup, obviously not this week unless there's a late withdrawal, but as early as next week. And Nathan Wright's a very hard at it. He's a good small backman, I think.
He's one of many halfback flankers at the Saints.
Yeah, I think maybe even a bit deeper. He's not so much a running backman, he's a great, desperate sort of small backman. And look, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a fair run of it with injury that Nathan Wright becomes a very good footballer, long-term prospect for the Saints.
And there's another guy on that emergency list, Blake Akers, who I'd like to see a fair bit of footy out of this year as well. High hopes for him, and I know St Kilda have got high hopes. He just needs to find his way into the side, and I don't think he'll be out of it for a while.
Tony's in East Bentley. Good evening, Tony.
G'day, Mark. As the vice chairman of the selectors down at St Kilda, how far away is Hickey after impressing against Port last week? And I've just about given up on Spencer White. I haven't read anything about him down at Sandringham, and he's into his third season, I believe, of building his tank.
Yeah, I mean, there are concerns with Spencer White. I'll defer to Brett Anderson on this, but the hubbub, not the official word, but the hubbub from Seaford was that Spencer White had returned to pre-season training in less than A1 condition, which put him behind the eight ball, which is ridiculous for somebody who just made the team at the end of 2014. There would be opportunities for him in that side, but he needs to be as fit as humanly possible, and he might not have served himself all that well over the break.
And he's a player who last year, when we saw on his debut, I think it was against Hawthorn at the G, Finey, where he needed it. Was it against Hawthorn? It was one of those games late in the year when he debuted and he kicks. It was against Richmond, wasn't it? Late in the year. And his tank was the one thing that was really shown up. He could only stay inside forward 50. I think he got a couple of goals because he was the one left out the back. He couldn't really push up to play the full ground press. So to come back slightly less in condition than what would be required is a bit disappointing, but he's going to work his way back in, hopefully. He's got plenty of talent, and for Security fans, let's hope that he can really knuckle down and produce some of the performances that St Kilda fans have been waiting to see for a long, long time.
Off the SMS, is everybody at St Kilda named Jack? Jack Loney? Jack Sinclair, Jack Stephen, Jack Nunes.
I think there's five of them.
Jack Billings.
Yeah, we went through it this morning with Shebex. There's five there, and there's five at Melbourne, and I think there's 20 of them in the TAC Cup this year, only outdone by the Toms, which there's 22.
So every Tom, Jack,
there's no Harry. There's not too many Harrys, I don't think.
There's one less, of course. He's now a Heretier. Gold Coast for mine. Yep. I think that St Kilda can be competitive at times in this game, but ultimately, surely, and I have some real question marks over Gold Coast's list, surely they're not going to start the season 0-2 against Melbourne and St Kilda.
You wouldn't have thought so. I reckon they would have seen a bit of a different side of Rodney Eade during the week with the rocket that he would have given them.
Tom Lynch is a big in.
He is a massive in. When you consider he straightens them up. And look, the surprising thing was Sam Day was subbed last week. He had two of their five goals at the time of being subbed. They had no other real...
League teams, Port Adelaide.
We've got the power to win, power to rule. Come on, Port Adelaide aggression.
The Sydney Swans.
Cheer, cheer the red and the white. Honour the name by day and by night.
Here's a clash of real heavyweights. Last year's runners up against the team most people think maybe out of the chasing pack, the one to usurp the power base that has been held by Hawthorn over the last two seasons, Port Adelaide. Sportsbet.com.au, read follows the odds. 168 the home side, the power, $2.18 the Swans. Time to have a look at the teams, and we kick it off from the back line with Port Adelaide. Jack Hompsch, Alapati Carlisle, Jackson Trengove. Half back line at Jasper Pittard, Tom Jonas and Matthew Broadbent. Centre line, Jared Pollock, Brad Ebert, Matt White. Half forward line, Robbie Gray, Justin Westhoff, Chad Wingard. Full forward line, Hamish Hartland, Jade Schultz, Jake Need. The followers, Patrick Ryder, Travis Boak, Ollie Wines. The interchange, Angus Monfries, Jarman Impey, Kane Corns, Jared Redden. The emergencies are Kane Mitchell, Aaron Young and Paul Stewart. In comes Jared Redden, out, omitted. And that puts a question mark on exactly where he fits in the scheme of things. At Alberton, John Butcher, Jackson Trengove is about to play his 100th game of AFL football. Still no Lobie.
No, there's not. And for the Sydney Swans, from the back line, Reece Shaw, Ted Richards and Dane Rampey. The halfback line of Nick Smith, Heath Grundy and Jared McVeigh. The centre line, Lewis Jetta, Kieran Jack and Craig Bird. The half forwards are Jake Lloyd, Lance Franklin and Dan Hannabury. The forward line, Kurt Tippett, Sam Reed and Gary Rowan. The followers for Sydney, Mike Pike, Josh Kennedy and Luke Parker. Good to see he's come up from that concussion. The interchange of Adam Goods, Isaac Heaney, Jeremy Laidler and Dean Towers. The emergencies are Harry Cunningham, there's a Harry for you, and Sam Naismith and Daniel Robinson. The ins are Jared McVeigh. The out is Harry Cunningham, omitted. And Dane Rampey will be playing his 50th game.
What a clash. The two powerhouses. I hand over to you, Brett Anderson. First crack at the analysis.
The analysis of this game is very simple. Sydney's record against Port Adelaide is amazing. They've won 11 of their last 12 games against Port, including the match last year, at the Adelaide Oval, the only time that they've met at the venue. But when you look at Port Adelaide last week, a fantastic performance considering the players that they had either underdone through injury or players that were sitting out due to the Asada provisional suspension. So when you consider that Hartlett, Wingard, Trengove had played very minimal footy throughout the preseason due to injury, and then you throw in Ryder and Monfries, who sat out all the preseason, I thought their effort out there over in WA against the top four side was outstanding. Sydney, look, they came hard, they came late. They probably nearly left it too late there at one stage, but they got their act together. The form of Isaac Heaney was really impressive. I thought he was fantastic for a first gamer. And also Luke Parker, 37 possessions, I think it was, finally, before he got subbed out with that concussion. So he's one of the stars of the competition now. For me, I think Port Adelaide at home, it's a hard place to win, despite Sydney's record against Port.
For mine, Port Adelaide at home, Adelaide Oval, irrepressible. And it was a cracking game last week against Fremantle. Sydney were as impressive as could be in coming back, but why were they 40 points down against Essendon in the first place? That requires some analysis, and I just wonder whether or not the loss of Nick Malcheski, even though He's coming in years towards the latter stage of his career is something that Sydney have been unable to replace and desperately need to. Sydney's side, whether it was under Paul Roos or now under John Longmire, has springboarded from defence with run. Rhys Shaw provides a bit of that run, but the primary runner out of the back line, given his good use by foot, he's a great kick, Nick Malcheski, hasn't been replaced. And last week, Dane Rampey, I think, tried to fill those boots and struggled. He gave away a couple of free kicks. He's not a running player. He's a lovely kick, Dane Rampey, but I don't think that he's a 1-2 bounce out of the back line, Nick Malcheski, Ty Kennelly, Marty Matner type, and they're going to have to look to probably a youngster, and I don't quite know who that is necessarily.
There's probably no one on their list to fill, that role. I think Rampy's the most obvious one.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure if he's that man. So might require a different style of play, certainly out of the back line. Nick Smith is a lockdown player. Heath Grundy is a meat and potatoes defender. Ted Richards, probably more tricks than Heath Grundy, but Jared McVeigh, who's named off the halfback flank, he folds into the midfield more than, you know, provides bounding run out of the back line. That being said, they're still a very good team, and my main reason for selecting Port Adelaide is simply the location. Let's have a listen to Ken Hinckley, and it's a pretty tough start. Fremantle away, then Sydney at home.
We've got to play those games, and we, you know, if you look at them in isolation or in one batch, you say that's a reasonably solid run. We acknowledge that. We're not frightened to talk about that. But we also know that it's a 22-week season, and at the end of the year, when you play the whole season, you add them all up. So you see sides every year that lose round one, win round one, and can be either amazing or terrible. It's neither or for us.
It certainly is neither amazing nor terrible on the back of their performance against Fremantle. In fact, more amazing than terrible. It was a very good game, well played. And this no-name defence that now has a name is fascinating. Hompsch, Carlisle, Trengove, Pittard, Jonas and Broadbent, a couple of years ago read as a weakness and now reads as a real strength. So for mine, Port Adelaide.
Yeah, 100% with me. Port Adelaide, I think they're a really good footy side, and their form last week, as I said, was outstanding. So I think they'll win, but Sydney, again, you can never write them off.
Let's have a look at two teams that now, they're pretty close to having formed a heck of a rivalry. And I think when Ross Lyon looks back at his coaching career, there'll be one team that he's put more work into than any other. At the Saints and now at Fremantle, Geelong has been a very hard-fought opponent of Ross Lyon coach teams. Should be a fascinating game. The Cats and the Dockers.
League teams. Geelong.
We are Geelong, the greatest team of all. We are Geelong, we're always on the
Fremantle.
Ball. Freedom, ready to go. In a real hot set of down. Geelong, freedom, given the old e-hold. We are the freedom.
And the game, of course, takes place on Sunday afternoon, first game Sunday. Andrew Marr and Nathan Thompson head down the freeway with Scotty Lucas special comments. Rowan Connolly will be part of the preview team. The odds, Geelong $1.90, Fremantle $1.90, sportsbet.com.au, can't split them. Can you? 9429 1116. Would love to get your take on what has been certainly in the bookmakers' opinions and probably those of us who have to give tips, which is just about everybody, the toughest game to find a winner in. Let's start off with the home side, Geelong. James Kelly, Harry Taylor, Corey Enright, full back line, half back line of Cameron Guthrie, Tom Lonigan and Jared Rivers. Across the centre, Andrew Mackie, Joel Selwood and Nakia Cockatoo. Half forward line, Jimmy Bartel, Mitch Clark, Steve Johnson. Up front, Matthew Stokes, Tom Hawkins and Darcy Lang. The ruck division of Mark Blitzavs, Josh Caddy and Mitch Duncan. Sunday game, so it's interchange from Jed Buse, Corey Gregson, George Horland-Smith, Jordan Murdoch, Dawson Simpson, Billy Smets and Reece Stanley, who wears the number one Guernsey this year at his new club.
The ins for the Freo side, pardon me, Finey. I was just having a look at the team there. From the back line, Cameron Sutcliffe, Luke McFarlane and Lee Spur. The halfbacks are Garrick Ibbotson, Michael Johnson and Clancy Pearce. Paul Duffield on a wing with Nat Fyfe in the centre, Tom Sheridan on the other wing. The half forwards are Daniel Pearce, Matthew Pavlich and Michael Barlow. The forward line, Hayden Ballantyne, Zach Clark and Michael Walters. The followers, Aaron Sanderlands, David Mundy and Stephen Hill. The interchange from Lachie Neal, Chris Mayne, Matt DeBoer, Nick Subin, Tendai Mazungu, Hayden Crozier and Matt Tabiner. No outs as this at this stage for the Dockers, just the ins of Tendai Mazungu, Hayden Crozier and Matt Tabiner, who were all impressive in the waffle on the weekend.
And I should have mentioned the ins and outs for the Cats, of course, because Stephen Motlock has been omitted on the back of a Good Friday drink 3 days ahead of the season opener. Even though he played well against the Hawks, that went against team rules, and he's got to spend one game looking on. Andrew Mackie, George Horland, Smith, Jordan Murdoch and Reece Stanley are possible replacements coming into the side. What a game this is. Cats versus Dockers.
Flip the coin.
It really is a flip of the coin. But for me, I'm going to go with the home team, the Cats. I just think that Geelong, Mitch Clark is certainly a potential win for them. Started off 3 goals. It was a tough first game for Geelong, no question, but playing the Hawks. But he got a return. Let's just say he got a return. He didn't necessarily even beat his opponent, but 3 goals was a good return. On home soil there at Simmons, Mitch Clark and Tom Hawkins are a heck of a duo. They come up against one of the best backmen in the competition in Luke McFarlane, but Luke can only play on one of them. So who takes the other? Michael Johnson is a sort of runoff backman and not necessarily the player that I'd be lining up on Mitch Clark. The question is, who lines up on the other big tall? It'll be an interesting matchup. I do like, and I think it reads Steve Johnson versus Clancy Pearce, and I think that's how it's going to play out. Clancy Pearce has been invested with the run with roll following, or in the midst of the Ryan Crowley investigation. I think you'll find Clancy and Steve going head-to-head.
I think that's exactly the way that it will pan out. Finally, even Zach Clark, I could see go back and play on a Mitch Clark. You look at also Matt Tabiner could go in and play back. I know he's mostly played forward, but he has that versatility. But that is a big question. Who plays as that second key defender? Because they do like to sag off Michael Johnson and provide, get him to play that third man up role and that sort of sweeper across half-back with his long arms. He's very good at chopping off the opposition. For me, I actually, in Inside Footy this week, I tipped Geelong before the Stephen Motlop omission. I'm actually going to flip my tip. I'm going to tip the Dockers in this one. I think that their form last week was really good. They've got a pretty settled side, and Geelong have got some guys coming to that side that have missed some games with injury. And also, look, you look at Reece Stanley, who hasn't played much footy at all. I think they're a work in progress, Geelong, at the moment, and their game on Monday was certainly, I think, evident of that. They were really good early, but then fell apart pretty quickly. They're not the Geelong side that they used to be. I think that Fremantle can go down there and return home with the points.
I'm tipping the Cats. You're tipping Fremantle Dockers. Wow, what an interesting matchup there are across the ground. And Matthew Pavlich, highly influential and a key component of Fremantle's win over Port Adelaide, will probably face Tom Lonigan to start off with. He's the closer checking of the Geelong defenders, but if that doesn't work out, Harry Taylor looms large. I just think it might be hard for Matthew Pavlich to recreate the match-winning form that saw him influential in the game against Port Adelaide. So the question is, do they have enough goal power, strike power, to kick a winning score? I think it's going to fall to Ballantyne and Walters.
Exactly.
And I wasn't enamoured with either of their form last week. I think they're both a bit rusty. So,
well, for me, that's where I see the key in the game is those two small forwards. I think that they went down to Geelong last year and they lost the game with a David Mundy kick after the siren that narrowly missed. They didn't have Michael Walters from memory that night. He's a very important player. He's an elite player in this competition. He goes under the radar, and I think he's one of Freo's most important, him being in the side and at the feet of Matthew Pavlich, I think might just swing the pendulum in Freo's direction.
Let's have a listen as we go to the break to Chris Scott not getting too caught up in that first round loss. And when we return, it'll be the Dons and the Hawks.
The most important thing, Pete, is to keep it in perspective for us right at the moment. It is one game and we played a very, very good team who are hot on the day.
Options, they had to go small up forward. Lynch comes in and straightens them up. He's their one player up forward who's a genuine A grader. And I think he flies under the radar for supporters down here of just how good a player he's turned into.
After the break, two really big games, sides that have genuine aspirations of making the top four. We'll look at Port Adelaide and Sydney and Geelong against the Dockers.
A lot better about Melbourne.
That's a good point. We've got to go to the news, Simon. You hang on. Love your passion for the Demons. $50 sexy land voucher. Bretto and I say GWS, but not by a long way. Still, six more games up for discussion on League Teams when we return.
League Teams, Essendon.
See the Forest fly up, up to win the premiership.
Hawthorn.
We're a happy team at Hawthorn. We're the mighty fighting horse. We love our club.
It's Essendon and Hawthorn. Old-time, long-standing rivals, no matter where they are on the ladder. Essendon, $4.40. Hawthorn, $1.21, according to sportsbet.com.au. Let's have a look at the Bombers from the back line. Michael Hibbert, Cale Hooker, Martin Gleeson, Brent Stanton, Jake Carlisle, James Gwilt. Centre line, Jake Melcham, Joe Watson, Mark Bagley. Half forward line of Travis Collier, Michael Hurley and Dyson Heppel. Full forward line of Paul Chapman, Patrick Ambrose and Adam Cooney. Ruck division of Tom Bell Chambers, Brendan Goddard and David Zaharakis. Interchange from Lockie Dalgleish, Ben Howlett, Courtney Dempsey, Zach Merritt, Joe Danaher, Jason Ashby and Sean McKernan.
Your premiership favourite, Hawthorn.
Sorry, I just should do the ins and outs.
The ins and outs, remember, yes. Those.
James Gwilt in. Then we know he's playing. Then Lockie Dalgleish, Courtney Dempsey, Jason Ashby and Sean McKernan all a chance. Out go Fletcher with a groin, David Myers with a shoulder.
We'll move on to the premiership favourites, the Hawks. From the back line, Sean Burgoyne, James Frawley and Brian Lake. The halfbacks, Grant Birchall, Josh Gibson and Ben Stratton. The centre line of Isaac Smith, Sam Mitchell and Bradley Hill. The half forwards are Luke Bruce, Jack Gunston and Will Langford. The forward line for Hawthorn, Paul Puopolo, Jared Roughhead and Cyril Rioli. The followers, Jonathan Siegler, Luke Hodge and Jordan Lewis. The interchange from is Ben McAvoy, Taylor Duray, Jonathan O'Rourke, Jed Anderson, Matt Suckling, Ryan Shilemakers and James Sicily. The ins for Hawthorn, Grant Birchall back from a knee injury, Jonathan O'Rourke in for his first game possibly from GWS, Ryan Shilemakers and James Sicily. The out is Liam Shields with a hamstring. As we mentioned, two new players there, O'Rourke and Sicily, to possibly debut for Hawthorn.
What a tough follow-up game it is for the Bombers, and I just have real concerns about how their bodies will feel. They not only had more than half a team having to do the nigh on impossible, and that is take on the Sydney Swans without the requisite NAB Challenge preparation, but I always felt that they might be able to get up for that game on pure emotion, given the events of the week that preceded them. But then, how will they come back? It's how...
The second week's often harder, isn't it?
It is very hard, not to mention the grinding nature of that game. ANZ Stadium, always a slog up there, add a little bit of rain, and I just think there's going to be some bodies that ache a fair bit. They've got a couple of day advantage over Hawthorn in terms of recovery, but they would have needed all of that and more. And they're playing the best team in the competition by a long chalk on their favourite dung heap, the MCG. I just cannot make a case for Essendon. They were plucky. I think they're going to provide a fair bit this season, but with older bodies, Adam Cooney, Paul Chapman in the side, you've got quite a few players there. James Gwilt and Brendan Goddard aren't young footballers. I just don't think they've got a chance to keep a handle on the Mighty Hawks.
No, and I think that's my assessment too, Finny. When it comes to the second week in and how you come up the second week, the one I always think back to is Stephen Baker in the 2010 Grand Final. Fantastic in the first week, then really struggled the second week and even voiced himself after the game he probably shouldn't have played, that he struggled that much with his body. So the Bombers have got 14 or 15 of those guys who have hardly played any footy who are going to feel every bump and hit from that game last week, which was in the wet. It was a hard, tough physical game in the end of the day. So to see how they come back this week is going to tell a bit of a tale. Hopefully they can put up a really good show. Great to see Jimmy Gwilt back into the Essendon side for his first game, possibly at the footy club. A really good fella, Jimmy. But in terms of Hawthorn, I think that they've got too good a side for Essendon at this stage. Look, Essendon played really well against them last year, but the benefit of those pre-season games, I think, certainly weighs in favour of Hawthorn, and I expect them to win comfortably on Sunday.
Here's an interesting one. Robert Shaw, who I do Inside Football, the full-on look at footy with on Sunday mornings, saw the Essendon VFL team in a practice match. I think they're playing Richmond.
Last week against Richmond, yes, they did.
And he was very impressed with Sean McKernan in the ruck. Now, Tom Bell Chambers mobility is limited, and that limited That limited mobility came to haunt him a little bit against Sydney, because against Martin Pike, I thought he would have been able to do more around the ground. So they might bring Sean McKernan in to provide an option in the ruck.
Especially considering they're going against two ruckmen in Ben McAvoy Jonathan Segler. So they've got two options there. You can't expect Bell Chambers to go one out with a bit of help from Joe Danaher. You'd say bring in another ruckman.
Yeah, I'd like to see McKernan play. No matter whether he plays or not, Hawks for both of us. One more game for discussion. Will it be redemption for North Melbourne? They come up against the Lions.
League teams, North Melbourne.
So join in the chorus and sing it one and all. Join in the chorus, North Melbourne's on the ball.
The Brisbane Lions.
We are the pride of Brisbane Town. We wear the gold, blue and gold. We will always fight.
Now, I've just got the weather actually far more relevant for the MCG game, because it'll be under a closed roof on Sunday night at Etihad Stadium. But on Sunday afternoon, there is a chance of drizzle in the morning. Light winds becoming southerly, but should be a fairly clear afternoon and evening with light breezes, perfect for football. North Melbourne, $1.20. Brisbane, $4.50. Sportsbet.com.au, thank you for all the odds. Matt Gradlin and Kevin Bartlett will be calling the action, with special comments by Terry Wallace and Daniel Harford on the boundary to round out our coverage of round number two. Let's have a look at the teams and start off with North Melbourne on the hunt for a redeeming victory. From the back line, Luke McDonald, Scott Thompson, Michael Ferrito. Half back line of Sean Attlee, Joel Tippett, Jamie McMillan. A centre line of Daniel Wells, Jack Zeeble and Sam Gibson. Across the half forward line, Sean Higgins, Jared Waite and Kane Turner. Full forward line, Lindsay Thomas, Drew Petrie, Brent Harvey. The rucks, Todd Goldstein, Ben Cunnington and Andrew Swallow. Interchange from Ryan Bastanac, Nick Del Santo, Sam Wright, Robbie Tarrant. Robin Nahas, Mason Wood and Ben Brown. In, Robbie Tarrant, Nahas, Mason Wood, Ben Brown. Ben Jacobs has already been omitted.
For the Brisbane Lions, from defence, Marco Paparone, Matt Maguire and Justin Clark. The halfbacks are Clay Beams, Jed Adcock and Jaden McGrath. The centre line of Rowan Buick, Jack Redden and Dane Zorko. Half forward, Alan Christensen, Josh Green and Michael Close. The forward line, Daniel McStay, Stephen Martin and Sam Mays. The rucks, Matthew Leuenberger, Dane Beams, Mitch Robinson. The interchange from is James Aish, Daniel Rich, Tom Cutler, Lewis Taylor, Ryan Lester, Mitch Golby and Zach O'Brien, who was promoted off the rookie list. The ins for Brisbane, Matt Maguire, Michael Close, Tom Cutler, Mitch Golby and Zach O'Brien. The outs are Daniel Merritt with a hamstring and, of course, Tom Rockliffe, the skipper, with his broken ribs and punctured lung. So a couple of big outs there. Now, finally, the Roos have dominated this contest at Etihad in the last five meetings. They've won all five against the Lions at Etihad, with the last four coming by 53 points. I expect North Melbourne to bounce back hard on Sunday night against a Brisbane side that's got a very good midfield but has question marks at either end of the ground.
Yeah, that's how it reads, and it's hard to imbue the game with anything other than the obvious, and that is that when the ball goes down into the North Melbourne forward line, Drew Petrie, Jared Waite, potentially folding forward, Todd Goldstein, who can get forward.
I'd throw Mason Wood into that. I think he'll play this week, and he's shown in his game so far at AFL level and in the NAB Challenge. He kicks goals, and he's done that at VFL level, so I'd love to see him play it, and he'll be a bit of a handful for Brisbane.
Justin Clark's a good tryer. Matt Maguire comes back, gives always a fulsome effort.
The goose.
But one just gets the impression that North Melbourne, with too much at stake, I know it's a crazy notion, a team not being in a position to afford a loss, they just can't lose, and I don't think they will lose. I would have been very fearful of them had this game been played up at the Gabba, but I think in front of a home crowd, and hopefully North Melbourne members, and there are plenty of you, get out for North Melbourne's first home game of the season and just pull your team over the line. Make sure they get this win, because they're not to be taken lightly. Brisbane, they've got Daniel Rich in the middle, they've got
their midfield's outstanding. Yeah,
they've got Dane Zorko, Dane Beams, Alan Christensen. They've got a number of midfielders that not only can win the ball, but kick goals. We know that Dane Beams has had games where he's kicked multiple goals. Zorko kicks multiple goals. Daniel Rich can hit the scoreboard. Josh Green up forward is a lively little performer. So they're not to be taken lightly, but I just think, I know it's no reason to pick a team. Too much at stake for North. They have to win. I'll tip them.
Yeah, I'm with you, Finey. Look, when you look at that forward line for Brisbane, there's no Taylor Walker there, so Scott Thompson and Joel Tipper can breathe a bit easily this week. There's only so many goals you can get out of your midfield. Eventually, your forwards need to produce in some way, shape or form. I can't see that with that Brisbane forward line at the moment. Look, Daniel McStay is a nice player, and they've used him back and forward. He can certainly have an impact. And Steph Martin, we've seen probably better in the ruck. I've actually got some fears for Brisbane in this game. I think North Melbourne, you're going to see the real North Melbourne this week, or I think North Melbourne supporters certainly hope we will. And this could be a 10-goal game. I'm going to predict that North Melbourne will come out breathing fire and blow Brisbane away.
North Melbourne for both of us, we've basically stuck to the game plan. We've picked the favourites in all the games, bar the game that has no favourites, Geelong and Fremantle. We've gone our separate ways then, so I wouldn't say we've been controversial. I think we've been fairly conservative. We'll see how it plays out. Brett, thanks for 2 hours of comprehensive analysis on league teams.
No worries. See you in a fortnight.